Protesters in Thailand have again clashed with police. The Prime Minister, Yingluck Shinawatra, says elections in February will go ahead. Her opponents on the streets, however, want them delayed. In the latest clashes, one police officer has been killed and more than 100 people have been injured. The protests were sparked back in October after the government tried to introduce a law that essentially would have allowed the Prime Minister's brother, Thaksin Shinawatra, to return to Thailand as a free man. He lives in self-imposed exile in Dubai to avoid jail time for a corruption conviction. Earlier, I spoke to the BBC's Jonathan Head in Bangkok. He told me there was great concern within the business community.
They're very worried. They're not sticking their head above the parapet because the country is so polarised. I mean, if you want an example, think about the fact that one of the country's best-known businesses, a very prosperous one, the one that makes Sing Beer, that's quite a familiar product even for many people in the rest of the world. But the owner of that company is a multi-billionaire, has had to more or less disown his daughter because she's been out on the front lines of the protests, demanding what the other protesters are demanding, that there be no election, condemning the supporters of the government, saying they're not educated enough to vote. She's become quite a face for the protest movement. And yet her family, and she's an heiress to this fortune, recognise that her attitude is very damaging for a business which sells drinks not just to wealthy Thais, but to poor ones as well, on both sides of the divide. So that company has been caught up. The rest of the business community is quietly expressing a great deal of anxiety. Normally, the big businesses here like to keep a foot in both camps whenever there are divisions, but they're finding it harder and harder to do that. And of course, the impact on the economy, although it is not drastic yet, is beginning to be felt. I mean, we've got significant faltering of sentiment on the Thai stock market. It's hit a four-month low. There are worries about tourism, which contributes about 7.5% to GDP. Tourists won't come if they see this turmoil. I think the bigger worry really is about, you know, just when are they going to have a government that can establish some good long-term pro-business policies?
How much of this is basically a good old-fashioned class struggle where the government is seen as being the elite, the rich, and the protesters are the masses of the poor?
Well, the protesters would like it to be seen that way. They talk about, you know, we are the people. Of course, it's a complex conflict that involves definite class elements, a newly emancipated class of people, the poorer parts of society that were traditionally ignored, really, who now believe that this government really backs them and supports them and love its populist policies, and a largely urban middle-class protest movement that feels that the government is irresponsible in its spending, corrupt and abuses its power. Very polarised views and no really towering figures who stand above all this, who could help bring some kind of reconciliation. It is something that the business community could perhaps help with. I mean, ultimately, Thailand is a very pro-business country. People are generally very pragmatic about making money here. And a lot of people have suggested that the big business tycoons should be banging heads together and getting people to be more rational. But that's not really their traditional way of doing things. Businesses here have always preferred to be very, very low-key and stay out of politics. And that lack of practice, I think, is making them a bit shy about coming forward now.
The BBC's Jonathan Head. Simon Landy runs a property consultancy in Bangkok. He thinks that this time round, the business community is getting more involved.
I've been in Thailand over 30 years, and I don't think I've ever seen such a strong position taken by the business community as we've seen in the last few weeks. And it's very good to see, because they're standing up and saying, look, we're not taking sides in this debate, if you call it that, but we are saying there is a need for resolution, for conciliation. Seven of the largest business organizations have got together, and they are providing a platform for the various stakeholders in the crisis to come forward and express their views. And this is something we've never seen before in this, in my experience anyway. So I'd say it's not true that the business community is taking a back seat.
Does that point to the fact then that the business community are much more worried this time around than they might have been in previous years?
Possibly. They also feel that perhaps we're looking at a turning point in the dynamics of Thai politics, and that there is a serious chance for meaningful reform.
Do you think Thailand is at a crossroads now?
I think it is, yes. I think we are seeing a level of awareness in the various communities that there is a need for Thailand to up its game in a sense, and to not only politically but also economically, to compete in a more competitive environment, and that the politics has to come along with it. So I think there is a strong feeling here that if Thailand can get over this hump, then it has a very bright future indeed.
Simon Landy there.
For more interviews and analysis of global business, search for BBC World Business Report for our daily half-hour podcast.